Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're starting the show today by talking with you about a new book written by Jerry Apps. It's always fun to talk with Jerry. And this time we'll get to talk about fishing with him because his new book is all about fishing in within his family. One of the great fishermen I know is Jill Nadeau.
Winner that of is many, a lie, Larry.
She's won many fishing tournaments. She's got a 15-pound largemouth bass hung up on her wall.
And it plays down to the going down to the river.
And so she's the perfect person to have with me for our spring member drive. And, you know, we're here to ask you to invest a couple of minutes of time to support your WPR listening.
That's right, because listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on. And that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
Yeah, they're really important. It's a very important time to make sure the funding is in place for the news and the information you rely on from WPR, and your gift funds the Larry Mueller Show as well as all the other programs you value. So please give now. Go to WPR.org and make your contribution or phone 888-202-2552.
If I really thought about, you know, you say public radio all the time, but what does public radio mean? Well, public radio means that this is listener-supported radio.
Yeah, and we appreciate certainly all of our funding streams, but listener support is the largest and most reliable source of funding for WPR. So your contribution, any amount really matters at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, we are especially talking to you this drive. We have other ways of contacting our existing members, but the best way you have to contact I'm sorry, I read that wrong. But the best way we have to contact you, the listener who hasn't given yet, is through these drives.
And maybe you've been listening for weeks or months or years and haven't donated for a while. Today might be the day you become a WPR member. You'll feel great when you support the station you rely on, and the WPR programs will benefit, certainly, from your contribution. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our spring member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's the biggest source of our funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, maybe $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
It certainly does. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact info, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You can easily spend $20 going out for drinks or dinner, and maybe even every single weekend. In the greater scheme of things, $20 isn't a big expense, especially if it's just once a month.
And that's why we ask you maybe to give $20 a month for your WPR listening. On its own, $20 might not feel like much, but when you give it monthly, it really adds up to the programs that keep you informed and inspired every day. So make that gift right now, $20 a month, or choose an amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you can add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe. It's soft, it's stylish, and everyone will know that you're a WPR listener. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you might consider becoming a sustaining member. It's really easy. You can set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can get started right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Jay in East Troy says, I listen every day. It is important to support WPR.
I hope you'll support us with your gift right now. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. We are going to turn our attention to Jerry Apps. If you like to fish, you have to spend a lot of time out there casting, maybe reeling the fish in, maybe having some wild adventures along the way. And Jerry Apps has had a few of those wild adventures. And some great ones, and has written about them. He's actually, speaking of writing, he's written more than 50 books about rural life in Wisconsin. His newest book, though, is entitled Lunkers, Keepers, and the Ones That Got Away, Fish Tales from Four Generations of Anglers. And he shares his love in the book of fishing. He inherited it from his dad, probably, and he shares a lot of stories, his own stories, as well as stories from his siblings, from his children and grandchildren. So as we talk with Jerry, I hope you'll join in. You love to fish? What? How did that happen for you? Join the conversation. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jerry, thank you for joining us once again.
I'm very happy to be here, Larry.
I tell you what, this last weekend was the general season opener of the fishing season here in Wisconsin. And I know you write in your book that, and I agree with you, you said that fishing, the opening day, is almost like Christmas.
Indeed. In fact, you didn't want to plan anything. You didn't want to plan a wedding. You didn't want to have a funeral. No gathering of people would come together if it was opening day of fishing season. It was a celebration. I don't know if to this day, it probably still is, but it surely was when I was a kid and for many years after. Opening day of fishing was a day to celebrate.
I agree with you very, very much. You know, you've write so well in this book about your experiences. And I was trying to think back. You have talked about fishing at least in one other book, if I'm not mistaken. Never Curse the Rain, I think, was the book, where you talk about fishing trips with some fishing trips and canoe trips that you took, but what made you want to put this all together into one book that just zeroed in on fishing?
Well, it's like so many of my other books. It's when somebody saying to me, Jerry, when are you going to write a book about fishing? And my answer would be, why? But they would say, well, you know, I'll bet you have a lot of stories about fishing. I said, well, yes, I do. In fact, I would be more than happy to share some with you right now. I would say, oh, no. And so that was the genesis of the book. And I must say, I had just a fun time putting it together. You got a minute? I'll just tell one little story to show you the importance of the opening day. My wife and I were married for 63 years. She passed away this past December. But when we were about to be married, 63 years ago, and we were to appear at the pastor's house. This is in Wautoma, where Ruth was working at the time. We were to appear at the pastor's house on Saturday morning and receive marriage instruction. So I knock on the door, and this the pastor's wife answers the door, and she says, oh my gosh, I'll bet you're here for marriage counseling. And I said, well, yes. she says, you know, it's opening day of fishing season, and the pastor's gone fishing. And so my wife and I spent 63 years without marriage counseling, all because of the first opening day of fishing season.
Oh, man, I love that story, Jerry.
Well, it's so true. And the pastor's wife was so embarrassed. And when I saw the pastor next time, I said, how'd you do? You wish I did pretty well.
Oh, man. Well, you know, you write about, you know, some of your earliest memories. One that struck me was fishing with the hired man. You had a hired man, and he had a Model T that was kind of like a convertible, I guess.
Well, let me tell that story, because that is indeed one of the early adventures. I was, I don't know, an adventure is the right word. I was probably, I don't know how old I was. This would have been in the early days of World War II. And I wasn't big enough yet to help with a lot of the heavy work on the farm. So my dad always hired a hired man for the summer. And he lived with us and helped with the chores and the heavy work. And when the chores were done in the afternoon, the milking was done, and the cows were let out to pasture. I'm trying to think of his first name. But anyway, he said, you know, boys, my twin brothers, 3.5 years younger than I, what do you say we go fishing tonight? Well, we never had to say that twice. We said, well, yes, by all means, let's go fishing. So we found our fish poles, which were 16 feet long cane poles tucked under the eaves of the corn crib. And we went with the 6-9 fork back of the hen house, and we dug angle worms, as we called them in those days. And we jumped into this old Model T touring car, which today we would call a convertible. You could let the top down. And, of course, the road past our farm was a dusty dirt road. And so we were going, and the Model Ts were 4-cylinders. So they chug, chug, chug down the road at top speed, maybe 25 miles an hour. And we go to Chino Lake, which is just about 1.5 miles from our place, just beyond the school. And we get to the lake. And what happens now? Well, the hired man says, we're going to fish from shore. Well, yeah, we're going to fish from shore. There isn't any boat around. So he said, I tell you what, we'll back the Model T into the lake, and you can fish off the back of it. So here we are, three little boys and a hired man, and the Model T Ford is, well, it's half sunk in the lake. And here we're fishing. And I don't remember if we caught any fish, but I thought that was the most interesting thing in the world. And then, of course, we're listening to the bullfrogs, and all the kinds of sounds of nature. I thought, well, that is really pretty neat. But then it gets dark. Henry was his name. And Henry says, you know what? We're going to have to get this Model T out of the pond. How are we going to do that? Well, you little guys, you get in the back. And said, one of you little guys can steer, and I'll get in the back with the rest of you, and we'll push this thing out of the lake. And so we put our shoulders to this old Model T and pushed it out of the lake and chugged all the way home. And my brothers and I have never forgotten how wonderful it was when Henry Lackell would say, hey, boys, what do you say we go fishing tonight?
One of the many stories that Jerry Apps tells in his new book, Lunkers, Keepers, and the Ones That Got Away, subtitles Fish Tales from 4 Generations of Anglers. Oh, man, that's a great story, isn't it, Jill?
It almost makes me want to go fishing. Almost, but not quite.
great. Jerry is such a wonderful storyteller.
He is. Oh, my gosh.
And it's really great to have him on during our spring member drive. And, you know, we're looking for your help here. It's the largest source of funding comes from folks like you. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or phone 888 202-2552.
And your gift during this spring member drive is so important because it directly supports your daily listening, the trustworthy reporting and thought-provoking conversations that you come here to, that are available here, and that's because of you. So choose an amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, I was so looking forward to this conversation with Jerry. You know, between the two of us, we have about 150 years of fishing. I've got all these stories, and as I read his book, it just reminded me of so many experiences that I've had over the years. Certainly has enriched my life to read it. And as I think this is something's kind of unique to public radio, the stories, we're listener-supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And the easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. And that means that your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month or $100 a month, any amount that you choose continues month after month, year after year. Get started now. It'll feel great at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Do you have a WPR t-shirt collection? Or do you see others wearing a WPR t-shirt and wish you had one? Either way, you'll want our 2025 t-shirt, available now. This shirt features Wisconsin's beloved symbols.
A badger.
A muskie.
A robin.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, of course. Ask for your t-shirt when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our spring drive helps make this show and many other shows possible. And your gift might be $10 a month, could be $20. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. And Larry, I was just thinking, you know, we all know that you've got about, well, pretty much every T-shirt ever
made. I am the
king
of T-shirts.
I think you should do like a display in our lobby so everybody can come and see your wonderful display of T-shirts.
Some of them don't look so good anymore.
I wonder
Some
why.
Of them look like they've shrunk, too. They're smaller.
Isn't that interesting?
Now,
if you're thinking, I can't donate enough to make a difference, well, think again. You can give $10 a month and provide quality journalism or thought-provoking conversations or a really fun, entertaining hour like we're going to have here for yourself and for your entire community.
Your gift makes a difference. Give now $10 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount and very important to us. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And, of course, we have that wonderful new comfy T-shirt that says WPR on it. It's really nice looking. It's a little bit brighter and happier than the ones we've had in the past. It's been kind of subdued with the dark colors. This one has got, the background is like a beigey champagne color. It's got purple and orange and all these wonderful Wisconsin items, I guess we can say.
Well, you know, the state flower, the state fish, the cow.
The cow, the state cow.
and I've forgotten all the others.
Well, the violet, of course.
Oh, the violet, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we got that kind of violet.
There's a violet in it, and there's an orange in it.
It's
just bright and happy. And if you would like to get yours, just ask for it when you give $20 a month or more, of course, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've already walked down the aisle.
Haven't you walked down the aisle enough, Larry?
Well, is it the hallway is probably the better way to put
okay.
it. The hallway and made my contribution, so I'm getting one for sure. I didn't want to miss out on that. So you can't walk down our hallway, but you can get on the phone and make your contribution. Or, you know, go to WPR.org. It's probably the easiest way. Or phone 888-202-2552, make that $20 a month contribution, and we'll send you one.
That's right. And just like Robin in Waukesha says, I really enjoy the discussion topics.
Your gift right now, very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Talking today with Jerry Apps about his latest book, the title Lunkers Keepers and the One and Ones That Got Away, Fish Tales from Four Generations of Anglers. Questions, comments, experience, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk at WPR.org. You know, Jerry, I started with a cane pole, too. There was a little creek that ran by our farm, Door Creek, and we'd fish with cane poles and pull bullheads mostly out of the water. And that's something you did.
Well, we have, I still have a farm a couple of miles from where I grew up, which we acquired in 1966. And on our farm, there's a pond of about, I don't know, 2-3 acres. And in that pond are bullheads of various sizes, but mostly small. and it is there where I introduced my kids first, and then later my grandkids, to the whole idea of fishing. And it is nothing that's more wonderful in my memory than to see. I have a picture in the book of my wife Ruth and my daughter Susan fishing at our pond with little poles, and Susie is watching her bobber, and she's probably 3 years old, 4 years old, something like that. And it's just a wonderful picture that says to me, hey, there's more to this world than running around and doing all the stuff that we do. Sometimes we have to stop and do something like sitting by a pond with one of our kids or grandkids and fish and listen to the sounds of nature and smell the smells of nature. It's one of the best ways that I know, there are some others, to introduce my children and my grandchildren to nature and an appreciation for the environment. And that threads all through my book. I asked my grandkids. I interviewed each one of them. I've five of them. We have some great-grandkids, too. And I asked them, what was the meaning for you of fishing? Because I knew they didn't each catch a lot of fish, although I have pictures in the book about each one of them with a fish of some kind or another. And there's one word that came up again and again and again. Grandpa, you taught me the power of patience. Yeah. And that surprised me, Larry, because patience seems to be the last word that my grandkids would want to talk about. And yet they said, you taught us the value of patience.
Yeah.
And every one of them did that without me prompting them. It's amazing.
One of the things I learned fishing with Carol Lee and Diane, my first two kids, was that if you go fishing with them, you have to realize that you yourself are not going to be doing a lot of fishing.
Why is that, Larry?
You are untangling lines. You are taking, helping get fish off the hook. You are putting baits on the hook. You are settling disagreements about where somebody's cork landed versus the other cork.
That's absolutely right. I must tell a little story about when my son Jeff and Steve, a year older than Jeff, We were fishing in a pond near Partyville, Wisconsin. And I had purchased for each of the boys a little short plastic rod, and maybe 3 feet long, had a little reel on it, had a little some string on it. And I'm showing them, the two boys, how to cast. It's the first time they were fishing. How to cast their little line out into the pond. And Steve is doing that pretty well. And Jeff, he's catching on to. And I, as you correctly pointed out, I made sure they were far enough apart, the two of them, that they didn't tangle up with each other. But now here's where something interesting happens. Steve is very patiently watching his bobber. Jeff is watching his bobber. He reels it in, throws it out again, washes it for the well, reels it in, throws it out again. And then he says, Daddy, there are no fish here. He threw his rod in the pond. Can you imagine? He's about 3 years old. He throws a rod in the pond. And he comes storming back. We were camping there. He comes storming back to me and he says, Daddy, this fishing is not for me.
Oh, that's a great story. Then you had to kind of fish the rod out of the water.
Exactly. I had to go find the rod.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you did a lot of fishing with your dad. I can remember a story about a guy fishing with his dad, and his dad took a cane pole. They were in a boat, and he had his brand-new spinning outfit, and he was not about to use a cane pole. But the dad took an extra one along, and they got out there, and he suddenly realized that his dad could take the cane pole and drop it over. They were in a weed patch, and so he could set the line down right in a spot between a couple of lily pads where he could not do it. And pretty soon he was back to, he said, can I borrow that other cane pole?
That's very good. You know, Larry, just change the subject just a little bit.
Yeah.
We did a lot of ice fishing.
Yes.
When I was a kid. In fact, when school was out for Christmas vacation, we went ice fishing every day, and we literally lived, this was during the World War II, just before and the Depression, just before that, and we literally lived on fish that we had caught in Mount Morris Lake. And ice fishing took a lot of effort. It's nothing like fishing from a boat or even fishing from shore, because we fished for northern pike with tip-ups, and you'd be surprised how many people have not a clue what the heck a tip-up is, but it's a device that you set in a hole that you dig in the ice, and we had to do that, and it has a flag on it, and when a fish bites, the flag goes up. Well, the fun part of it all was that for many years, when we got the tip-ups in place and the holes dug, the tip-ups in place, we used minnows for bait in those days to catch northern pike. We would go to shore and gather up some leaves and some dry grass and some small twigs, and then we would build a little fire. And then we'd add some more wood to it. And I'll tell you, Larry, there's nothing in my memory that beats sitting by a campfire on the shore of Mount Morris Lake, watching our tip-ups as a trickle of smoke goes up through the trees, and we're warm, and we have old logs down trees to sit on, and we're spinning stories. Oh, my gosh, the stories. The neighbors were there fishing, our farm neighbors, and we would sit on this log and watch the stove and watch the tip-ups. It was absolutely wonderful. There was so much more, and I say this often, there's so much more to fishing than catching fish. I'll say that twice. There's so much more to fishing than catching fish. And it's the memories of things like the campfire that we sat around that brings back to me how people got together as people and shared stories. If they caught a fish, that was something extra. Interestingly enough, nobody would admit that, but I know that was a feeling that many people had.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And you used, I mean, you look at the guys and gals ice fishing today with their powerized machinery to get the ice holes open in about, 20 seconds or 30 seconds. You used a spud, which was it made from an axle or something?
Yeah, I tell you what, Larry, our fishing chisel was a Model T Ford truck axle. that the blacksmith in Wild Rose had sharpened to one end to a sharp point, And the other end, he drilled a hole through it, and you put a, he put a stick of a piece of leather through there so you could put it on your hand. And the thing was heavy. Oh, my gosh. You, when you were pounding a hole in the ice, you didn't have to use any force. You just lifted it up and dropped it, and pretty soon you had a hole. And one of the problems we had sometimes, not very often, but occasionally, the hole was too small for the fish. Now, that may be a fish story, but it happened on occasion. And my brother Daryl, one time, when I'm on Morris Lake, Step Up goes up. Well, we always all run out there to watch what's going on. Lots of advice. Give the fish more line. Pull him in. Let him be. All contradictory advice. And he's sitting there. He's sitting there, and he's got this line coming out of the water. And it's jerking. Oh, my gosh. He says, it's on. It's on. He starts pulling it in. Lo and behold, he brings up to the hole a 10-pound northern pike that was 30-some inches, 36 inches long, I think it was. And we had to chop the hole a bit larger to get that big pike onto the ice. I mean, I never caught a northern that big. And so he had the record. A 10-pound fish puts up quite a fight, I tell you. Even in the wintertime when the ice is, when the line is thick and the, everything is slowed down a little bit, a northern pike that weighs 10 pounds, you know you caught a fish when you caught a northern pike weighing that much.
What surprised me about your stories involving spuds was that it doesn't sound like you ever had one go through the ice and then lose track of it.
I would not admit that.
And down to the bottom it went.
I can remember we spent most of an afternoon trying to recover this very one that I this chisel that I just talked about, because it was so darn special. I mean, it was handmade, and we knew the blacksmiths who made it, and now the darn thing is sitting in the mud in the bottom of Mount Morris Lake. And we finally were able to get a piece of wire down 10 feet to hang on. Well, we saved it.
Jerry Apps, our guest today, his book, you're going to have some fun reading this one. It's titled Lunkers, Keepers, and Ones That Got Away. Subtitled Fishing Tales from Four Generations of Anglers. I bet you've got a fishing story or two. I hope you'll join in and let us know about it during our spring member drive. And Jill Nadobak with us to talk about the drive. You know, we're just here to raise the money that pays for the programs like this one. And I hope you'll support us in that endeavor. It's your support that makes the difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, I was just thinking, Larry, it's like the cost of a ticket to anything that's entertaining today. Think about how much that costs, and then think how much that you would like to pay for this entertainment that you were just hearing right now, or for the news or the great journalism. And all of that is listener powered. And that means that your support makes WPR's news analysis, the conversations, and the weekend fun available not only for yourself, but for the entire community. So thank you for making WPR's public service mission possible with your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might not know this, but there are high schools and colleges that use WPR programs as part of their curriculum. Educators recognize the students can learn a lot about current events, about great books, history, and a lot more from listening to the discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, and Wisconsin Master Gardeners get credit for listening to Garden Talk on Fridays. You know, your gift makes WPR an educational resource that's available throughout the state and beyond. You have a powerful, lasting influence when you support these programs with a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You should make the gift that works for you. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month or something else.
Something else, whatever. Maybe that's what you pay for streaming services for your family or your family phone plan. And like we said, a ticket to an event. Listening to WPR is something that you do every day. So put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At 6 o'clock, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, I turn on the radio in the room, and it's on the whole day. I've decided to become a sustaining member because it's so convenient. I've been a contributor to public radio probably for close to 20 years. It's just a very convenient way for the money to come out of your checking account on a monthly basis. My name is Nancy, and I'm from Sheldon, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
You can do that by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
Now, you might think that you don't have to support WPR because somebody else is. Well, WPR has been around for years because thousands of people have made the decision to support something that's important to them.
And now it's time for you to make that decision. Many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month. You choose what's best for you and then give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe and let everyone know that you're a WPR listener. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I love what Rita in Madison says. She said, public radio is a necessity.
I like that, too. Is it a necessity for you? Join with your gift right now. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Great to have you along today on WPR News as we talk with Jerry Apps about his latest book, Lunkers, Keepers, and Ones That Got Away. And you can join in, too, with your own stories at 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. We were talking about losing a spud ice fishing, but I know your dad, you had a story about your dad losing his spinning rod.
Well, that's right. And we've had all kinds of adventures along those lines. I must tell this story because it's pretty much on me. This happened fairly recently. Well, not recently, like 10 years ago. I was in my early 80s at the time, and I was still actively fishing. And it was an opening day event, and my brother Donald and I had, for many years, we'd opened up the first day of fishing with together. So we are in Donald's new boat. Well, it was a new used boat. It was a flat boat because I had trouble getting in and out of his other boat that had high sides. So this was flat. You could get into it, get onto it easily. And on a boat, some of you remember this kind of a boat, there were pedestal seats that you could sit on, quite comfortable, really. And so we're at Gilbert Lake, and it's the opening day of fishing season. It's a little chilly, I don't know, maybe 50 degrees. And we're chugging across the lake because we fished in Gilbert Lake many times. It's between Wild Rose and Walpaca. And we found the spot where we had caught fish previously, and it was fairly deep, I don't know, 40, 50 feet deep. And Donald stops the boat, and he says, Jerry, could you drop the anchor? Because I think this is the right spot. And so I get up from the pedestal chair, and I go around, and I grab the anchor, and I walk toward the front of the boat, and the boat's bobbing a little bit, there's a little breeze, and I grab hold of the pedestal seat, and darned if the thing didn't break off, and the seat and I fell in the lake. Well.
And you're 80 years old.
Yes, and I went right straight to the bottom. I mean, I was later kidded of looking for fish, and I didn't. I must say I didn't bother to check as I went sliding down through the bottom, and I hit the bottom of the lake. And I one of the things, I never let anybody in one of my boats without wearing a life vest, and I was wearing a life vest, thank goodness. I shot up to the top, absolutely wet from one end to the other. My brother is aghast. He's thinking this old guy's going to have a heart attack right here on Gilbert Lake. And no, I wasn't had a heart attack. I said, get me in the boat. He could not get me onto the boat. The other guy couldn't crawl onto the boat. So he says, hold on. And he drove the boat to shore, pulling me along behind. Can you imagine? If anybody was watching, it would have been a sight to see this old guy soaked from one end to the other, hanging on for dear life to the anchor rope as we drags me to shore. I climb up on shore, and good Lord, I begin taking off clothes, and my brother is just scared to death. He says, are you okay? Are you okay? I says, no, I'm wet and I'm cold. Anyway, I survived, obviously, and it's one of those stories that you don't like to read. You wouldn't want to repeat it, but it's sort of funny when you think about it.
Well, I'm remembering now what he said when you came popping up. He said, I think he said, what did you do that for? Or something.
Yeah, that's right.
If I'm remembering that story right.
broke the seat off his boat, and it fell in the drink, too.
Oh, man. Well, you talk about, fishing in the boundary waters and what a special place it was, and just mishaps. There's one guy that I wouldn't mention Ron Seeley's name, but he was fishing in the – oh, I'm sorry, I mentioned it. He was fishing in the boundary waters with another guy, and they put their canoe up, and they went to bed, and when they woke up in the morning, the canoe was gone. And they were in the boundary waters, and you know, you never know if anybody's going to come along. And finally, somebody did come along and pick them up and took them to find that canoe that was. They had no idea. But your memories, you had some great memories of the boundary waters.
Well, my son Steve and I, can you believe it? We went to the boundary waters for 25 consecutive years, always right after Labor Day when the crowds were few. And we would find a campsite in the boundary waters that was not close to anything. We wanted, not that we hated people, but we wanted to be alone in the wilderness because we wanted to hear the loons. And we had a bear in camp one time. I could tell you that story. I'm cooking supper, and I'm the world's worst cook. There's no question about it. But it must have tantalized the nostrils of this bear, black bear, great big bugger, comes walking down the trail, sniffing. I go, holy Moses, what do I do now? And Steve is fishing. In turns, I said, Steve, turn around. He said, oh, whoa. And now I said, now what do I do? Do I jump up and down? Do I yell? Or do I give him something to eat? What am I going to do? He comes within about 10 feet of me, and we look at each other, and I think he decides that that meal is not to his liking, and he turns around and walks away. And I am about ready to die at that moment. I tell you, I really didn't know what the heck to do. Because we didn't have any bear spray or any of that kind of stuff. And a black bear is generally not a problem, but they do like to eat. And there's something about what I was cooking at first appealed, but later he didn't think it was so good.
Jerry Apps, our guest today. It's always a great pleasure to talk with Jerry, and I always thank him so much. We've had many visits together, and his book, You're going to enjoy. It's Lunkers, Keepers, and Ones That Got Away, Fishtails from Four Generations of Anglers. So, thanks so much.
Thanks. I should add Wisconsin Historical Society Press. They're the publisher.
Yeah. That's right. Thank you, Jerry. And thanks to Jill Nadeau, who's been laughing uproariously here on the sidelines as we talked about
it. Trying to laugh quietly, Larry. It's not easy for me.
Well, it's one of the fun things we do when we're here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Jerry Apps and I have spent many, many times talking about probably close to all of his books over the years. And it's been a lot of fun doing it. And your gift keeps these programs possible. It keeps them on the air. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if not, there's no time like the present to fund the independent journalism and meaningful conversations that you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio. You choose the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're listener supported here. I know Jerry Apps has been a longtime supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in so, so many ways. We're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
You know, you listen to WPR month after month and year after year. Well, now donate the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. You'll make ongoing contributions of, say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
And you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you're supporting the programs you love. Don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau asking for your support to support the quality programs that you value on WPR with your gift. Your contribution, $10, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a huge difference.
You know, many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to all and because you yourself have been getting value out of it over the last year or two or more. It's time to put something back in.
So you're making a donation for yourself, but also for your community, and the amount is up to you. The important thing is that you participate. Make that first ever gift, say $10, $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And don't forget about the T-shirt.
That's right. Don't forget, because we have a new one, and it certainly looks like spring. So let the world know that you're a WPR fan. It's purple. It's orange. It's Wisconsin-themed, and the background is nice and cream-colored. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Jackie and Madison had a nice comment.
She did. She said, the Larry Mueller Show has been my favorite show for years.
Jackie, thank you so much for that comment. What about you? I hope you enjoy this program. Jill and I certainly enjoy putting it together every day along with the rest of our crew. And it's important to us. I hope it's important to you as well. And your gift, man, it's really powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Coming up, we're going to talk with Mad Dog and Merrill about grilling. That'll be next. But in the meantime, make your contribution right now. And thank you.